Exodus chapter 24. Hope you brought your Bible with you, where we can just get in the Word of God. Beginning in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here with us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Boy, I would have loved to have been in there and experienced that. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount of Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the mount in the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I have been looking at this thought of the danger of assuming. I'll go quickly what we've covered. We can easily assume planning means progress and promises means protection and prayer means promptness and profession means possession and position means purpose and performance means purity and people mean peace and providence means puppets, and you've probably forgotten them all. But I want to look at this thought tonight. Listen to what I'm saying. Pause means panic. It's easy to assume when there's a pause in our lives that it's time for panic. Notice in verse 14, and he said unto the elders, Moses is about to go to the mountain, and he's going to be there 40 days and 40 nights. Notice what he tells the people down at the base of the mountain. Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Then in verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. We see in these verses, there that last verse that I read, said that Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So we know that the people down on the bottom of the mountain are waiting 40 days and 40 nights. But notice, when Moses gets to the top of the mountain, he has to wait 7 days before the Lord really shows up. I want to say that there was a pause in their life. They were waiting. They had been in Egypt for 400 years, but God had brought them out, and they were heading to the promised land. But when they got to Sinai, they parked a while. They paused a while. In fact, they stayed there in Sinai almost an entire year. Numbers 10 tells us about that. And there's 57 chapters about what took place while they were at Sinai. They were pausing, but it wasn't time to panic. It wasn't time to say, God, what in the world are you doing? Let's get to going again. God called Moses to the top of the mountain, and he stayed there 40 days and 40 nights while those people were, guess what, waiting. The word patient comes in mind. The word patient means suffering, afflictions, pain, or evil without murmuring or fretfulness. Could I say that again? Patience means suffering, afflictions, pain, or evil without murmuring or fretfulness. No wonder I don't like patience too good. It also means waiting long for expected good without discontentment. It also means to not be hasty, to not do something just because we're tired of waiting. I say this evening, it's easy to assume that pause means panic, that if there's a pause in our lives and nothing's happening, that prayer isn't getting answered, that person isn't getting saved, that church isn't getting revived, that good isn't being done, it's not time to panic just because we're in a pause in our lives. There's times that God moves suddenly. I mentioned that this morning. He sweeps in and takes over, and all of a sudden, everything's different. He spoke to the storm, and it calmed down immediately. There's times that God moves suddenly. There's times that God moves slowly, so slowly that you can't even tell that He's doing anything. I said again, it took them 40 years to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. And while they were here at the edge of Sinai, they stayed there a year. It seemed like nothing was happening. It seemed like God had just about gone on vacation, even though Moses was on top of the mountain talking to them. But I want to say something. God is never late. But listen, God is never early either. Sometimes we wonder that lost person is still lost. That sick person is still sick. That family still struggling. That person's gone in the wrong direction and he hasn't come back yet. That personal request hasn't been answered. My dry spell hasn't ended. I'm praying to be used and it seems like it isn't working. I say there's times that we have pauses in our lives, but when we do, it isn't time to panic. Could I mention first an undesirable process? Boy, I understand this. Moses told those people in verse 12, "Tarry ye here for us." He says, "Stay here and wait." Could I say that's an undesirable process? That's an undesirable demand. God did not ask them. He told them, "You wait here." And nobody likes to wait, at least nobody I know. I know I don't. But we must yield to God's timing. If He pauses in our lives, if there's a time we have to wait, that does not mean it's time to panic. It means it's time to wait on Him and trust Him. God not only knows what's best, but He knows when is best. And there's times we have to wait for His answer. It's an undesirable process. We ask Him for things because we want things or need things. And we want them now, of course. But there's times we have to wait for His answer. For that burden to be lifted, that prayer to be answered. We have a burden and we pray and nothing seems to happen. And if we're not careful, we'll ask ourselves, did God hear me? Is He even listening? Is God ignoring me? Listen, He tells us to ask, believe, but He also tells us very clearly we have to wait on Him. Just because He has not answered yet does not mean He's not going to answer. There's some things that take time. I'm saying there's an undesirable process that these people are going through. 40 days and 40 nights while Moses is gone, and almost a year staying at the same place. They're wanting the Promised Land. They're wanting to go on and get to that place that God had promised, but He has a pause in their life, and it wasn't time for them to panic. Sometimes we have to wait on His answer. Sometimes we have to wait on His advice. There's times we just do not know what to do. I think I live in that place. We do not know what His will is. Friend, I want to tell you, do not be hasty if you don't know the direction He's leading you. The Lancasters just saying, "I'm going that way." We need to make sure we're going the right way. If we aren't careful, when there's a pause in our lives, we'll make a wrong decision, doing something wrong, and make matters worse. An undesirable process. But I want to mention number two, an undetermined purpose. One of the first things I thought about when I read these verses is, why? Why 40 days and 40 nights? Why stay in one place for a year? Listen, God could have done what He did in one day. God could have done what He did in that year's time, 11 months, and He could have done it in one day. But He didn't, and He didn't tell us why He didn't. I don't know why, but I know this, He does. I'm talking about there's an undetermined purpose. He has a purpose, even though we cannot determine it. We do not know why He tells us to wait, but friends, sometimes He does. But I do know this. While we're waiting, we'd better do right. While we're waiting, we better make sure that we're doing right. While we're waiting on God, while we're in that pause in life, we need to look. We need to take a good look at ourselves. Friend, you know what? When we look at ourselves, we may just find out that I'm the reason for this situation to begin with. Because of decisions I've made and things I've done in my past, I have placed myself in this situation, and God has stopped me to help me to realize, look, Buster, this is your fault. You're the one that put yourself here. I'm going to help you out if you'll trust me, but you must admit it is my fault. While we're waiting on God, we need to take a good look at ourselves, but also a good look at what we're wanting. That request that we have, that desire that we have, is it God's will? Is it what He wants? If He answers that request or that we desire does happen, will it honor Him? We need to take a good look at ourselves. We need to take a good look at what we're wanting, and we need to take a good look at why we're wanting it. Are we wanting that we're asking for or that we're desiring for selfish reasons? If He did heal us, would we use our health for His glory? If He did answer the prayer, would we thank Him and live for Him? Our old nature wants its way. It's selfish, it's stubborn, and it's sinful. And friend, we need to make sure that our desires are from God. I'm talking about an undetermined purpose. There's a reason God stopped them. There's a reason He said, I'm going to just pause your life for a while. And while He does that, and when He does that to us, we need to make sure we take a good look. In Exodus 32, verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. While Moses on the mountain talking to God, better said, while Moses on the mountain, God talking to him, down at the bottom, Israel has built a golden calf and worshiping that calf and doing all kinds of ungodly idolatry and all kinds of ungodly practices. They weren't waiting. Listen, by them waiting, though, by them having to wait, it revealed a problem they had. They had a problem still with self. They had a problem still with sin. And them waiting, God pausing their life, showed them there's a problem you need to deal with. Friend, when God puts a pause on your life, you need to look real close at what He's trying to show you. While we're waiting on Him, we need to not only look, but we need to listen. In Exodus 24, verse 14, He said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. Notice, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. While Moses was on the mountain, he left some spokesmen down at the bottom for the people. And he says, if you got a problem, if you got a question, you go to Aaron and to Hur, and God will speak through them. I'm saying while they were waiting, they needed to listen to what God said. Aaron and Hur will tell you because they know God and they know His will and they know what God says, and you better listen. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we get in such a mess so many times. We have not listened to what God said in the past. He's already told us what we need to do, and we haven't done it. He's already pointed out the problem, and we haven't handled it. We need to ask God to speak to us, tune out everything else, get along with the Lord, and then listen to Him. While we're waiting, it's not time to panic. It's time to listen to God. Now, He may not speak immediately. After all, we're talking about pausing and waiting. You may have to wait. You may have to keep seeking and keep asking, but listen to what He says. I'm talking about there's an undetermined purpose. We don't know exactly why He put Israel through what they did, what they had to go through. And we don't know why He sends us through these pausing times. But while we're waiting, we need to look and we need to listen. And I believe we need to learn. There's something He wants us to learn. There's something He's trying to teach us. Listen, That pause is just for you. Now, it may be for other people. Other people may be involved, but it's for you. He's trying to help you and to help me. And how important it is that we learn, that we learn, that we learn something while we're waiting on Him. That we listen and learn to what He's saying. While we're listening, we can hear Him, but we need to learn what He's saying. While we're waiting on Him, while we're going through the pause, we need to look and listen and learn, but I believe we also need to love. I'm talking about there's a purpose to the pause. There's a reason He sends us through it. So therefore, we need to make sure we're doing right while there's a pause in our lives, when it seems like God hasn't answered yet or He isn't moving as we desire. And while we're waiting for Him to move again or to answer, we need to love. We need to love Him. Oh, how we need to love God and worship Him. Like the song was sung this morning, just give Him praise. When you're going through the trouble, give Him praise. We need to love Him, but we need to love them. While we're in a pause in our lives, we do not want to forget others. There's others hurting also. There's somebody else needs a friend. There's somebody who needs a hand, needs a help, needs a word, needs a card, needs a call. Listen, I know it's a load. I know it's hard on you. I know it's hard to have a burden that it seems like God doesn't take care of, or a problem that it seems like He's not answering or helping. But listen, don't forget about others. The more you think about only yourself, the heavier the burden's going to be. Surely we need to love. We need to love Him and love them. We ought to care about lost people and see that there's lost people all around us. We may have a problem, but listen, if we're saved, we're going to heaven. It's going to be all right. But there's people all around us that aren't going to heaven, and we need to care about them. While we're waiting, we need to look and listen and learn and love, and we need to live. I thought about this. We shouldn't let our burdens burden us. We shouldn't let our cares put too much on us. Oh, I know it's heavy, and I know it's hard, and I know it's difficult, but listen, we're still saved. We ought to live this life with joy. Our request is important, there's no doubt, but it should not control our lives. We ought to enjoy life. God is still good. There's a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah, I'm still saved and heading to heaven. I've got a God I can trust, and He's going to take me all the way. I don't know what's ahead, don't hardly know what's behind, but I know this. We can live for God and love Him and care about what He cares about. While we're waiting, we need to look, listen, learn, love, live, and labor. There's something we ought to be doing. Waiting doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing. Paul said in Romans 2:7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. Did you hear that? Patient continuance in well-doing. Keep doing what's right, even though it doesn't seem like it's doing any good. That is not easy when there's a pause in your life. When it seems like you've been doing good and it hasn't helped one bit. You've been praying and the answer hasn't come. It's difficult to keep doing good and keep doing right. But you know what we got to do? Keep doing good and keep doing right. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, hallelujah, if we faint not. Life isn't over. We still have something to do for God's glory. So while we're waiting, we need to look and listen and learn and love and live and labor, but we also need to lean. We need to lean on the Lord and trust Him. Psalm 59 verse 9 says, because of His strength. Oh, I love this verse. Because of His strength, I will wait upon Thee, for God is my defense. I encourage you, write down that verse and let it live in your heart. Psalm 59, 9, because of His strength, because He's strong, because He's trustworthy, because He's dependable, because He's able, because of His strength, I will wait upon Thee. But you know what? That's not what that verse is saying at all. Now it sounds like it. Because of His strength? Oh no, that's not what He's saying. Because of his strength, there is the enemy. Because of his strength, the enemy, I will wait upon thee. He's talking to God about his enemies. Because of his, the enemy's strength, I have an enemy stronger than me. And therefore I will, as the psalmist said, wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Oh, listen, he is stronger than our enemy. The battle's too big for me. That means I need God. If I have to wait, I wait. If he doesn't move now, I wait. If he doesn't do what I want, I wait. Because I have no other alternative. Because the enemy is too big and my only hope is God. Jeremiah 14:22 says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee. You know what he's saying? There's nobody that I know that can cause rain, and we need rain. There's nobody I know that can send showers, and we need showers. And since there's no help to be had, no help to be found, we're going to wait on God. You're the only one that can do it, but you can. We need to lean on him. Trust him, folks. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He's dependable. Who else can we trust? Who else can we depend on? Don't stop asking. Don't stop expecting. Keep asking and keep waiting on him. I mentioned an undesirable process. I do not like to wait. I mentioned undetermined purpose. I don't know all the reasons why he makes us wait. But then I want to mention number three, an undeniable power. God was on the mountain working. Even in the 7 days of waiting, when Moses got up there, God was doing something. In the 40 days and 40 nights, oh my, what God did in the heart and life of Moses. And Moses brought down the mountain to the people. What he did, what God did in Moses' heart, he brought to the people. He is with you just like he was with Moses. He is with you just like he was with the people of Israel. Now, you don't have to turn, but I want you to listen closely. I'm talking about undeniable power. Moses on the mountain, people of Israel down the bottom of the mountain, and it seems like God isn't doing anything to those people. It seems like there's just a pause in their lives. Is it time to panic? I don't think so, because God has an undeniable power that he's about to turn loose. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, and it came to pass on the 12th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai. Out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Listen, there came a time when God says, okay, it's time to go again. Verse 28 of Numbers 10 says, thus were the journeyings, were on the move again, of the children of Israel, according to their armies, when they set forward. Boy, I'll tell you what, that 40 days and 40 nights, those months, that almost year that they spent in Sinai, God had been busy working, even though they didn't realize it. Were they making any progress as far as geography? Not a bit, not a foot, not an inch, but they sure were spiritually. When they started again, God lined them up according to their armies. In other words, they were in groups, and God called them armies. Why? Because there's a battle ahead. And these people were better prepared now for the battle. Why? Because they had traveled from Egypt to Sinai? No. Because they had spent that time in Sinai while God seemed to be doing nothing. So the conclusion is this. While they were in Sinai, God, listen to me. Listen to what God was doing while it seemed like he was doing nothing. I love that. Look what God was doing when it seemed like he was doing nothing. God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, yes, but much more. All the commandments, all the rules, all the regulations, all the requirements that was in the Old Testament, God gave to Moses during that time at Sinai. He was telling people, listen to me, he was telling them how to live. He was telling them what he expected during that time of in the Sinai place there. God gave to Moses the tabernacle, the design and the way to build it, and they built it while they were there. That place to meet with God. That place where they could offer sacrifices to get atonement for their sin. God gave them that place when it seemed like they were making no progress. God, during that time at Sinai, gave them the priesthood. Aaron and his offspring, that way to get to God. That priest that stood before God on behalf of man, God gave them that priesthood and how it would be laid out and who it would be done by while they were there in Sinai. Listen, God gave them the Ark of the Covenant, that place where God dwelt. That little box that they carried around that was really a demonstration and a symbol of the very presence of God. And all that happened while it seemed like nothing was happening. You may not understand the delay. You may not know why God has put you on a pause, but I want to tell you one thing. It is not time to panic. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it seems like there's times that nothing happening is happening, but I want to tell you one thing. I do not want to hinder God from working in my life. I don't want what I don't know to hinder what I do know. I say it again. I don't want what I don't know to hinder what I do know. I don't know a lot, but I do know this. My God is worthy. My God is holy. My God is good. I'm going to a good place, and He's going to take care of me all the way. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Do not try to force that to happen that you desire. Listen, you may make something happen, but it won't be of God. You know what? We can force people to do right. We can agitate them and aggravate them so much that they'll change. But they won't change because God changed them. They'll change because they want us to hush. Listen, let God do His work. While there's a pause, don't panic. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing right when it seems like doing right isn't doing any good. Because waiting is the best. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I prayed many prayers when no answer came, though I waited patient and long. But answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. Listen, wait. Desperately, helplessly, longingly, I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, God replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate, but the Master gently said, child, you must wait. Wait, you say, wait, my indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened, or have you not heard? By faith have I asked and am claiming your word. My future and all to which I relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me to wait. I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, and even a no to which I'll resign. And Lord, you promised that if we believe, we need but ask and we shall receive. Lord, I've been asking and this is my cry. I'm weary of asking, I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I heard my fate as my Master replied once again, you must wait. So I slumped in my chair, grieved in my gut, and grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and His eyes wept with mine. And He tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens and darken the sun. I could raise the dead and cause the mountains to run. All ye seek I could give, and pleased you would be. You would have what you wanted, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence is all you can see. You'll never experience that fullness of love as the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You'd know that I live and save for a start. but you not know the depth or the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late in the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight. The depth that's beyond getting just what you ask, or an infinite God who makes you wait last. You never know, should your pain quickly flee, that what it means to say, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dreams for your loved ones would come true, but oh, the loss if you lost what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to get to know me. And though all my answers seem suddenly late, just trust me, I'm still at the gate. I just want to say tonight, we can trust God. Listen, there's going to be pauses. There's going to be times when we have to wait on Him. And it isn't easy, but it's best. Keep on trusting Him. Keep on loving and living and learning and listening to Him. Father, thank you. I'm glad we've got a God we can trust. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to trust you. You're God. What we're going through is nothing compared to so many of your children through the years. But Lord, it sure is hard on us. Teach us, mature us, burden us, make us. I'll thank you for what you do until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.